Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration, this the fifth Sunday in the season of Easter, it's from John chapter 14, Jesus comforting his disciples. Our Lord speaks, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least, believe on the evidence of the works themselves." This is God's word for us, God's people. Mercy and peace are yours in abundance through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't worry about it. These words have little power to comfort. It almost seems as if they create more worry. When you're already worried, "don't worry about it" is the last thing that you want to hear, isn't it? Few responses are less reassuring. Imagine someone wants you to invest in their next big venture or idea. So you do what anyone would do when they're investing a lot of their own money. You ask questions about their business model, their financial plan, exactly why they need your money and what they're going to do with it. The last thing that you want to hear from them after you've already cut the check is, "don't worry about it." When you're handing over the keys to that brand new car, to the brand new driver in your house, and you ask them, "hey, where are you going? What time are you going to be home? Who's going with you?" The last thing that you want to hear from them is, "don't worry about it." Nothing would make you take your keys back faster, right? Or if you or a loved one has been diagnosed with some rare condition, your only option seems to be a risky clinical trial, so you ask questions about side effects. The last thing that you want to hear from the medical team is, "don't worry about it." "Don't worry about it" doesn't help when you're already worrying about it. In fact, even when you're not worried about it currently, "don't worry about it" seems to lead a person to start worrying. Perhaps that's how we respond when Jesus says in John 14, "do not let your hearts be troubled." When we look around our world, we see trouble everywhere. Places that used to be safe have become sites of horrific tragedies. Christian values that used to be celebrated are now criticized and condemned. At times, where our world seems to be headed deeply troubles our hearts. Telling us "don't worry about it" doesn't help one bit. We see situations closer to home that trouble our hearts too. People dealing with big problems and tough situations. There's homelessness and loneliness, shattered dreams and broken homes. And we wonder, what can we do? How can we help these people? Don't worry about it. It doesn't lift our spirits at all. Our hearts are also troubled when we see the futile thinking and foolishness of the people around us. Greed and ingratitude, depravity and disobedience, foolishness and faithlessness, good help, good friends. These things are hard to find. Finding people you can trust with your kids or your personal insecurities, your deepest, darkest fears. It's almost not even worth the effort. Simply telling us, don't worry about it, won't do. Now, the more troubling things that we see, the more people who cause us trouble, the more we feel like just running away from it all. Finding some way of insulating ourselves from the troubles that we would have to face in this world, but that doesn't work as well as we might hope. Because there's a trouble that lurks within us. Our own pride and arrogance, our own lovelessness and faithfulness, our own doubts and despairs. Each of us has our own limitations, faults, and flaws. There are things we don't know or can't control. There's plenty we don't do right. Telling us, don't worry about it, doesn't set our hearts or minds at ease. Now, the disciples that Jesus was speaking to in John chapter 14 had many reasons for their hearts to be troubled, if you were to sit down and ask them. As they were growing up and they looked around their world, they saw all kinds of troubles. There was danger and violence, idolatry, adultery, and apostasy. People who hated God seemed to get ahead. Hypocrites seemed to be most honored and blessed. It seemed like everywhere they looked, they found trouble. But then Jesus found them. And he called them to be his disciples. And as they followed him, they saw even more troubles, the sick and the suffering, the deaf and the demon-possessed. All these kinds of people flocked to this Jesus of Nazareth. But no matter how tough their troubles were, Jesus always seemed to have the answer. He healed all the sick. He restored hearing and sight. He gave lame men the strength to walk again. He gave grieving parents their children back to them again. When he spoke, the demons cowered in fear. They begged for mercy. And the disciples' hearts were elated. They had finally found the Messiah. But soon enough, the troubles came roaring back with a vengeance. The crowds that were once eager to listen to Jesus now wanted to tell him what to do. For a while, they were clamoring for more healing, but now they demanded that he become their king. Even his wonderful miracles were being met with more and more doubts and cynicism. Some even accused him of teaming up with the devil. The leaders in Jerusalem, who at first seemed to be at least curious about Jesus, now were plotting to kill him. Trouble seemed to follow Jesus everywhere. And now it seemed like it was catching up to them. Most recently, Jesus had told his disciples some troubling things. He had frequently talked about his suffering, how he would face rejection and even death. But very recently, Jesus had been describing this rejection and his death with more and more troubling details. He identified his assailants. He told his disciples that the chief priests and the teachers of the law would condemn him to death. They would hand him over to the Gentiles. He'd be mocked and flogged, insulted and crucified. This troubled their hearts. Even Jesus admitted that his soul was troubled by what was about to happen to him. And on the night of John 14, Jesus dropped the most troubling of all bombshells. One of the 12 would betray him to the chief priests. One of them, who had spent years following Jesus, hearing him preach and teach, seeing him heal and lead the people, would lead Jesus to his death. While they were still trying to process this troubling new information and suss out who would do such a thing, Jesus told them, "My children, I'm only going to be with you a little longer. You will look for me, but where I'm going, you cannot come." Peter objected. He promised that he would lay down his life for Jesus, that even if all fell away, he wouldn't. And then Jesus told him, "That night, Peter, you're going to not deny even knowing me three times." It's not hard to understand why their hearts were troubled. Imagine having someone you followed for that long tell you that he's just going to be gone. Imagine having someone that you loved as these disciples loved Jesus tell you that he was about to suffer and die. And that not only were you powerless to stop it, but you would behave in ways that were cowardly. The disciples had so many reasons to have troubled hearts. Jesus saw that. He knew that. And he knows that about us. He knows that at this very moment, we may have many reasons to have troubled hearts. The way is drear. The foe is near. The truth is under attack. Life is fragile and filled with hardships and heartaches. Rarely does it look like God's kingdom is really succeeding. Rarely does it seem like God's word is really being heard and honored. Rarely do we feel like God's promises are really being kept. So much of what the disciples were facing in that moment, we face in ours. And like them, our morale seems to be very fragile. Telling us not to worry about it just won't do. So what should we do? Jesus says, "You believe in God, believe also in me. Trust what I am doing, even when it's not what you would do if you were me. Trust that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Trust that I am doing my Father's work for you and your eternal benefit." You see, this unique cure for our troubled hearts is fascinating and faith-strengthening. You understand why the disciples were troubled, right? Jesus was going to die. One of them was going to be his betrayer, and Peter was going to disown Jesus, and the rest would fall away. They'd scatter as he was struck. But remember also what Jesus, who is God and knew how this was all going to shake out, could have said to his disciples. He could have told them, "You know, in 4 days, you're going to laugh about all this. In a few weeks, Peter, I'm going to go for a walk with you, and I'm going to personally forgive you and powerfully restore you. You know, guys, in 50 days, this group isn't just going to be a handful of people. It's going to explode more than 100-fold. You know, guys, in a few months, you'll replace Judas, the betrayer, with men who are willing to lay down their lives. And many other leaders are going to step up in their place. All of these things were going to happen, and Jesus knew that, but he didn't say any of that, because troubled hearts don't need spoilers. They need a Savior. They don't need to know everything that's going to happen to them. They need to know who is going to be in control of everything that happens to them. You see, it was knowing what was going to happen that was troubling their hearts at this moment. That's why they needed to know who Jesus was and what he was doing. So he told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back and take you to be there with me forever." And that's what we need to hear and believe too. In a world where so many have lost their way, we need to hear Jesus speak and tell us he is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, Jesus lived the way that God demands. He was perfect in thought, word, and deed. He did everything the right way every single time. And it didn't matter if he faced pressure from the crowds or threats from the teachers of the law. It didn't matter even if his disciples doubted him or proved to be disloyal. Nothing could get him off course. By living in this way, Jesus became the way for sinners to be reconciled to their God. By living this way, Jesus became the way that love operates in a world of sin and troubles and redeems his creation. At every moment of his life, and even at his death, Jesus demonstrated his love for God's truth and lost sinners. There was never a time when he chose one over the other. And he did this because this is who God is, because he is the truth. Peter put it perfectly, as we heard last week. Jesus committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. Jesus was the embodiment of truth in thought, word, and action. That's how John introduces Jesus in his gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then that Word became flesh. God lived among sinners like us. He lived a life full of grace and truth for sinners. And in so doing, he made the Father known. In so doing, he proclaimed the plan of salvation. In so doing, he demonstrated that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, Jesus is the life. He came down to lay down his life in our place. Jesus was numbered among the criminals, crucified among the rebels, because this is what you and I had earned. He was stepping into our place so that we didn't have to suffer God's righteous wrath. He was numbered among the transgressors so that we might have a place in heaven's glory. He gave his life so that we might have life to the full. Life that's not just good for a short time, but life that is full of glory and honor and power and wisdom and wealth forever in heaven. That is the life that your Jesus is preparing for you right now. He has done everything necessary to secure a spot for you in heaven. But right now, even in the midst of your troubles, he is with you. He is strengthening your faith. He is working out all of your troubles to serve your eternal good. He doesn't just tell you, don't worry about it. He tells you, I've got all this under control. And you can trust him, because you have already seen what he has already done. His death was not the loss that it appeared to be, but a great victory for us. His ascension into heaven was not his untimely departure, but his royal return to the throne in heaven, where he rules all things for our good. And even now, this same powerful, wise, loving Jesus makes his dwelling in our hearts. He blesses us with faith-strengthening word and sacraments. He surrounds us with like-minded believers who are there to help bear our burdens and point us to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who prepares good things in advance for us to do. So when our hearts are troubled, when we are weighed down with worry, when we are burdened with anxieties, this Jesus calls us to believe in him, to demonstrate our confidence and trust in him, to cast that stuff that you struggle with on your Savior. Not because you know what he needs to do with it, not because you know exactly how it's all going to turn out, but because you know his love. So when your hearts find trouble, don't let them stay troubled. Believe in Jesus, because you've seen him. You've seen his love. You've seen his wisdom. You've seen his power. You've seen him work out everything according to his plan. You've seen that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to point you to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life for us. If you'd like to learn more about this Jesus, how he calms troubled hearts, and strengthens your faith. I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find opportunities to gather together with like-minded believers in worship and ways to strengthen your faith. May God continue to bless and keep you until he brings you home. Amen.